I'm not pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. I would say at home edition, but technically this is at the office edition. So interesting. All of my podcasts up before the pandemic, I was in my car. I was actually driving my car. And then during the pandemic, I started recording with people because I was at home. People liked those. So now either I'm driving in my car or I'm at home recording an interview. But I'm with Brian Holly. We're going to talk about foundations today. So it turned out that just the easiest time for us to do it was at work. So this is the first time, 1,000-plus podcasts in, I'm actually at work recording something. So anyway, welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Hello.
So we're going to talk foundations. So where to begin? How did foundations happen? How did it become nothing into something?
Great. I feel like I should probably introduce myself.
Oh, sure.
I'm Brian Holly. I'm the game design director for Magic. So I kind of oversee the designers and managers and that group. Also, for this purpose, I was the set design lead for Magic Foundations.
Okay. So you're the lead. So let's talk a little bit about it. Like, this Magic has a long history of making introductory products for players. We've done all sorts of starter products. Obviously, we've done core sets. This is something a little different. So I want to get into, like, how did we get here? This is definitely us trying something different than we have before.
Yeah. So Foundations is born from an idea that we've had for years, longer than I've worked here, you know, 11 some odd years before. Just the concept of an evergreen core set is something that we've wanted to do for a long time. We used to call
it the ultimate core set. That was our name for it.
Yeah.
And ultimate base set, I think we called it, actually.
Yeah. And I didn't hear that term until last week.
So. Okay.
One of the things that we've been thinking about a lot with Magic is that over the last few years, you know, we've expanded the number of different products that we make, but we've definitely, you know, seen, heard, and felt that that growth is getting pretty close to capped with our current player base, which has been growing, but the place that we really feel is kind of the future of Magic and growing Magic is just by growing the number of people that love and want to play Magic. So we, as you mentioned, we've gone through a bunch of different eras of learn to play materials, how to get into Magic, philosophy.
Yeah.
And we've learned things from each of them. So they're shared, history with Foundations and the core sets of old with, you know, Starter 1999 and, you know, going back even further than that, even as far as Alpha. The decision to make Foundations was definitely pretty opportunistic. We had a slot in our calendar. We've been wanting to do this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was getting to the point where, like, okay, we really need to start making something soon. we're like, hey, we've wanted to do this for a long time. Let's just do it. Go all in. So from there, there are four main products that make up the Foundation suite.
Okay.
There's the Beginner Box, which is the our entry into just the best way to enter Magic ever, and hopefully the best way to enter any card game ever.
Sure. But a tutorial teaching you how to play it.
Yes. Very much like, what do we want the experience to be for someone who is interested in learning Magic and has never played before?
Real quick, just I want to explain something important that we know that you, the audience, don't know. When we do the market research, the number one problem we have with new players is they are intimidated. Magic is, in over 30 years, has 27,000 some cards. The rules are very, you know, it's thick as a phone book, for those who remember what a phone book is. There's a lot of intimidation. The idea that I'm learning this game that has so much history to it is very intimidating to people. So,
yep. And that knowledge has been baked in for a really long time. And in a lot of ways, it is something that we, in some of our previous attempts, leaned too far into. One of the things that is different about Foundations from some of the eras of core sets is that it is really trying to make learning magic as fun as possible. Like, just the experience of sitting down and learning to play magic is an experience we just want to be very fun. We still care a lot about it being simple, accessible, like something you can, you know, get into and get a feel without needing to know all of magic's history and mechanics and rules.
But the big thing for a long time is, like, when I look back in the early days of doing all the starter products was, can we make this as easy as possible for people to learn? And for a long time, that was our North Star, making it as easy. And we've just learned there's things more important than is it easy?
Yep. Yeah. And, like, we need to balance that for sure. But one kind of challenge that like, just trying to make it as easy as possible introduced is that at some point you have to learn the rest.
Yes.
And having that be, like, a kind of large cliff where you're, yes, like, cruising along, like, okay, I feel like I get it. I feel like I'm kind of getting it. Oh, no, what is this?
Yeah.
So we really wanted that kind of, that entryway and that kind of pathway into getting into magic to be smooth. Which does mean that we're, you know, introducing some concepts earlier than we did in previous efforts in this space, and showing people. We're trying to get people to a basic understanding of the core kind of rhythm of a game of Magic as quickly as possible, and kind of what is the point of the game is something that our previous Learn to Play offerings usually didn't have. So, like, one of the things that The beginner box was the very first thing we started on, because we knew that we wanted this whole product suite to be really cohesive within itself, something where it can kind of create an ecosystem that lets people get into magic and explore for a while, and then kind of path out of it in whatever direction and at whatever pace they want to. So we started with the beginner box, and that was built on the foundation of Jumpstart. Like, that was a really important kind of piece of technology in Magic.
So once again, real quick to explain, for those that don't know, Jumpstart is a product. We've made a couple versions of them. A pack of Jumpstart is kind of like half a sealed deck, sort of. 20 cards, I believe?
It is 20 cards.
20 cards. Yep. And the idea is you could take any two half Jumpstart decks, put them together, and make a 40-card deck that you can play. And that, we've done a couple of those. They've been very successful. And the thing we like about Jumpstart is one of the big barriers is learning to build a deck. Well, put two things together is about as simple of deck building as we can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it still lets you kind of like experiment with combining things, which,
yes,
is really like core to the experience of Magic and is like really kind of, for many people, kind of what the game is about. It's like, how do I combine,
right,
these different things to make something that's me.
Right, and you get to make a decision. I mean, it's not zero decisions, but you get to make a decision, and then you get to play off that. Okay, so how did we use Jumpstart technology to do this?
At the beginning, it was really unclear how we were going to, because, like, we knew that we loved Jumpstart for, teaching and for just early Magic play before people kind of have all the context necessary to start, like, building their decks or... when someone asks them, like, hey, what do you like doing in Magic? It's like, well, what are the options? And Jumpstart is a really good way to get a bunch of options in front of people without it being overwhelming. So, a few months later of kind of tinkering, talking, experimenting with different structures, we really latched onto the idea of kind of a, like, almost board game version of Jumpstart, where there are these 10 packets that are not randomized. Everything in the box is the same each time. And two of them are used in the tutorial sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So that, paths you through, kind of introduces the really core concepts of the game, kind of introduces you to the cycle of a turn, and kind of, like, teaches you the basics of the rules. And then from there, you have more content that you can explore. Like, if you liked the Cats deck from the tutorial experience, then you can grab, be Cats and Dragons, go for it.
Yeah.
If you're like, maybe not Cats, you're just like, I want to be, Elves and Goblins, great, they're yours. Once we kind of latched onto that, kind of general structure. You know, it then continued, like, the especially the first time we make any new product type, it is so much harder than making it the second, third, fourth time. So there was way more testing, way more design time, way more iteration and bad ideas and poor designs that we had to scrap and start over than with something we already knew how to do. But like once we had that kind of general basic idea, it was time to spin up the rest of the design, starting on the main set, which we knew we wanted to connect to the themes of the beginner box, and the starter collection, which needed to connect to both.
Okay, so the idea is I buy the beginner box. I'm a brand new Magic player. I've never played before. I buy the beginner box. Inside, there are 10 half decks. Cats and vampires play against each other. So you start with a half deck, and you play what we say tutorial. What it means is they're in a certain order. You have a booklet that literally says, okay, draw 7 cards, and it walks you through your first game. Then, if you want to play another, if you want to shuffle and play with a little half decks, you can. But then there are other half decks. You can combine 2 half decks, and I can play for a little while. The 5 half decks, I can play a little bit, and I can explore. Okay, so now that I've done that, now I'm ready to go beyond the beginner box. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is next?
So there are 2 different places that you can go. If you just want more jumpstart, you're just like, I still don't really want to build decks. I just like doing this, and I just want to like keep. I just want to like add more content and just expand what I can play with. There is a full Jumpstart expansion, the Foundations Jumpstart release, and that's a full sized Jumpstart, the same as original Jumpstart, Jumpstart 2022, and it has all the Jumpstart content you could want.
And just for the audience, real quick, there's rarities, so there are Jumpstart boosters that are more common, and then there are ones that are mythic rare, meaning there's some things that are simple, but you can stumble across a little more complex things. Mm-hmm. Most of them are single color, but I think some of the mythic rare might be more than one color. Are they all still single color?
If I recall correctly, there are some that are 5 color.
Yeah, anyway. Okay.
It's been a while. Reggie Volk was the design lead for Jumpstart. So I don't have the encyclopedic memory.
That is one path. You can go down Jumpstart. What is the other path?
The other path is kind of the you just want to expand your collection. You just want more stuff, to have more magic cards, to build more decks, explore more things. And down that path, the starter collection is a product that is it draws some inspiration from deck builders' toolkits of old. Mm-hmm. But unlike deck builders' toolkits, it is a like fully curated and designed collection. Mm-hmm. It has hundreds of cards, I believe 400-ish if you include the basic lands that come with it.
Okay, but it's just a single product.
It's a single product.
Yeah.
Beginner Box is trying to be the best way to learn Magic and a lot of gameplay time and content for your dollar. Starter Collection is trying to really quickly turbocharge if you just want cards and want like high utility magic cards that you can use and start building decks with and just like want to kind of jump right in. It is trying to be it has tons of cards, tons of rares and mythics for its price point. And the cards in there provide a really good kind of spread of different things, different ways you can build your decks. They all work like with the Jumpstart packets that were in the beginner box. So there's like ways to explore and build different decks out of them. If you like the Cats deck, there's more Cats cards here.
Now, is it the same cards? If I buy one version of the box, you buy the other. Are there the same cards in it?
Same cards.
Okay, so just identical.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, there are play boosters in that product.
Okay, and those will be randomized.
Those will be randomized, but the selection of cards is fully fixed. It is, as I said, like a designed and curated kind of cornucopia of cards.
Okay, so I either take my 10 Jumpstart packets from the beginner box and I buy more Jumpstart, or I buy the starter box and start building decks using that. Okay, so what's next after that?
Next is the Foundations main set. Foundations, in addition to having these two new product types and being a full Jumpstart release, is a fully sized large booster set with all the rares and mythics and commons and uncommons that you would expect, mm-hmm. Play boosters, collector boosters, all of it. So one of the things that core sets of old tried to do, they were kind of trying to be both for someone's first 10 games of Magic, mm-hmm. and for people that are have been around the block, know all the cards. Mm-hmm. And the Foundation's main set is very much trying to be the second step in someone's journey and mm-hmm. not the first. It's like the beginner box is someone's first step into Magic. Like we've, really blown out the tutorial and kind of introductory experience for someone to get through their first 10, 20, 30 games of Magic. Mm-hmm. And you can do that entirely within the beginner box. The Foundation's main set is trying to be still really approachable, really clean, but it's trying to do it in a way that is more focused on being kind of resonant and timeless than mm-hmm. it is about being as simple as possible. So the one of the tenets that we identified pretty early on of this is a design pillar that we mm-hmm. really need to be true about the set is to build it in introductory experience that's optimized for new players, but is really keeps it fun for the veterans who are teaching them. Mm-hmm. And the Foundation's main set is really trying to do that. So it's a mix of new cards and reprints.
What's the percentage? How much is new?
It's roughly 50-50, roughly half and half. It varies a little bit by rarity. Mm-hmm. But when we went into the product, we didn't have any specific goal of how many new cards and how many reprints. We just came in with the idea, if the perfect new card already exists, use that one. If it doesn't, make a new one. Mm-hmm. As we kind of went through the process, 50-50 wound up feeling about right.
All right.
There are a lot of just really cool, clean, timeless cards that old players will remember with nostalgia, but newer players will love for the same reasons that the older players loved them for in the first place.
Okay, so something important we haven't brought up yet is we've committed to this product, what did we say, to
at least 2029.
2029. Okay, so that's 5 years.
Yep.
We're saying that this is going to be a standard legal set for 5 years. How did that come about?
So one of the things that we... another kind of challenge that we identified from previous core sets is that when they're just kind of part of the normal in-and-out churn of Magic, it is really difficult for an experienced player to, wholeheartedly recommend mm-hmm. them to a new player. Because when somebody's getting into Magic, you don't know how deep they're going to go. You don't know if they're going to, go all in and start building standard decks and playing with you at FNM mm-hmm. next month, next year, 5 years from now. The recommendation of you should really start here does come with some kind of caveats and addendums of but those cards are going to rotate from standard in 6 months, so then you're going to need more, mm-hmm. and that's awkward. The other thing is that when there's a new core set each year, different players entering the game at different times kind of they don't have the same touch points. One thing that it's not necessary, but it is valuable if players kind of have a shared language of these are the cards that everyone knows. If a large majority of Magic players are coming in through the same place and learning from the Foundation's beginner box, Foundation's cards, having kind of that shared experience just helps people connect with, when somebody's oh yeah, I found this card, you're like, oh, I know what that card is, that card's cool. It really came from a place of wanting these cards to be just very easy to say, yep, you should just start here. It doesn't really matter if you don't go super deep this year, Like, they'll still be relevant in a couple of years. Don't worry about it. That was something that we just...
And there's another facet. I mean, one of the notes we've gotten from players is there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. That they're just keeping up with Magic, there's a lot moving. And that when the course of, like, every year was different, it just required, right, mental space of, like, oh, okay, what's the course set now? And what we're saying is, well, what if the course set didn't change? And what if, like, okay, this is just what the core set is. You can learn what the core set is and just move on. And every year you don't have to, like, relearn what it is. Just we are looking for opportunities to sort of lessen how much attention you have to pay to different things. And this was one thing that we were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely comes from kind of the same philosophy of lengthening standard from 2 years to three. Mm-hmm. Just like your cards should be relevant for longer. If you're not on top of what's coming out every week, every month, that should be okay. And Foundations, we hope, helps with that a lot. Like, mm-hmm. it definitely introduces a lot of the, you know, strong core staple effects that will define Standard for years to come. And, you know, new sets will introduce different versions of those over time, mm-hmm. and things will change, but the... that kind of, like, foundation of Standard, yes. Will just stay more stable. When we went into it, we weren't really sure how to describe how long Foundations mm-hmm. was going to be legal, because we kind of knew that we wanted it to be legal forever asterisk. We knew that forever is too much. Like, we knew that was not... You know,
stop promising things forever.
it's never going to be actually forever.
Yeah.
But, like, we definitely wanted to convey this is going to be legal for a really long time. Mm-hmm. The kind of, like, positioning that we landed on for it is it'll be legal through at least 2029. Mm-hmm. But if it continues to do its job,
it could be longer.
It could be much longer. Like, if it continues to be fun, if it continues, like, providing a really good, welcoming place for players to enter Magic, yeah, like, we could extend that. Like, we will definitely give the public at least 2 years heads mm-hmm. up before the set rotates. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stay tuned in 2026, 2027-ish for the future of Foundations. But, yeah, for now we know that it will be legal and standard for at least 5 years.
Okay, so are there, in some ways this is our new take on a core set. Mm-hmm. How else is it different from the core sets of old?
A lot of it is the kind of design aesthetic, as mm-hmm. it were. Like, we've already talked a little bit about how core sets really tried to simplify Magic to the point where it kind of felt dumbed down. Like, experienced players didn't usually have as much fun with core sets as they did with other things. Jumpstart has a really kind of beautiful design aesthetic mm-hmm. Where, like, I mean, Jumpstart is a lot of different things. And one of them is kind of a focus on creative cohesion with synergies. Mm-hmm. But the pieces kind of mix and match interchangeably very fluidly. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of lighthearted and approachable. So we definitely borrowed from that design aesthetic with the main set. Mm-hmm. Like, one lens that we viewed a lot of cards through is it's not necessarily, like, how long does it take to read this card, though that does matter. In a lot of cases, it's what do you need to know about the game system mm-hmm. to understand why this card is cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we've all seen cards that take up most of the text box mm-hmm. and are pretty easy reads, and other cards that are, like, two relatively short lines. It's like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
And it's important to have a little bit of that, like, getting the gears turning and, like, mm-hmm. oh, what can I do with this card? And, oh, that might combine with this. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a really appealing part of Magic, but especially some of the really abstract themes, mechanics, mm-hmm. lines of text are still things that we left by the wayside. But we were really focusing on that just, core tenet of Optimize it for new players, but keep it fun for everyone.
The thing that I found most interesting was, I think old school, a lot of our thought process was, let's shield the player, the new player. Oh, if we tell them all the things that are in the game, it might scare them off. There's a lot going on. And kind of the new philosophy is, no, a lot of those things are what make people want to play the game. I'll use a good example. Legendary creatures. It used to be we didn't put legendary creatures in the base set, mostly because, well, it's just a new thing to learn. You got to learn what the legend rule is. Like, it just was extra baggage. But now it's sort of like, well, one of the cool things about Magic is the characters, right? And yep. You want, you know, and, I mean, this set has planeswalkers, it has legendary creatures. Like, we're like, you know, a big part of Magic is the characters, and that's something that draws you in. And we don't want to shy away from the characters. Mm-hmm. And that, the takeaway now really is sort of, I thought was interesting is, okay, what do people like about Magic? When we look at Magic, what, the people who love Magic, why? What about Magic is it? And the idea is, let's get those things in front of people's faces sooner. Let's not hide it from them. Let's say, in fact, here's a really funny story. So we did a test where we took a lot of things out of Magic and we were teaching people. And then we do market research because that's how we do it. And one of the market research we got back is when we asked them if would they play more, yes or no, why would they, you know, if they wouldn't play anymore, why wouldn't they play? And a bunch of people said, oh, it's too boring. And we're like, oh no, like, what do we do that Magic is too boring? Like, if anything, Magic's not boring. Maybe it's complicated and there's a lot of moving pieces. But that's what made us realize we were doing something wrong. Like, we showed people Magic and their takeaway was, eh, that's kind of boring. There's not much going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's not, you know. So I think a lot of the philosophy changes are around that of being dynamic and being showing what makes Magic shine.
Yeah. Now, like, you know, we definitely assume that, you know, the new player in Magic is pretty smart.
Yeah.
like, they can get it. If they want to get it, they will. So just making them want to keep going and want to learn and want to, you know, climb that hill to figure out what's at the top is really what we're trying to go for here.
Yeah, there's a truism in game design, which is one of the ways to tell that your game is a good game is at the end of the first game, your players want to play the second game, right? Like, I just finished playing the game, like, ooh, that's fun, I want to play again. And I think that's what we were trying to tap into. Like, how do we let you see the specialness that is Magic right away? Not hide it from you, not wait for it. Like, right away, how do you get to what makes Magic shine and what makes Magic exciting? And, hey, you know what? If they finish the first game and they want to play the second game, but they don't know everything, oh, that's okay. They're excited to play the second game. And you eventually pick things up.
Yep, for sure. The other thing that is kind of different about Foundations, and we kind of touched on this when describing the beginner box, is it's really not just trying to teach you the rules of playing the game of Magic. Mm-hmm. It is really trying to teach you what is Magic about. And because Magic is really much just, it's more than just like one game that you play.
Yeah.
And a lot of our, you know, starter kits and things like that, you learn the rules, and you know, you'll get through your first like five games and kind of understand that. But then a lot of players, and this also came from our market research, mm-hmm. kind of like, okay, what do I do next? Like, what am I supposed to do now?
Right.
and because, like, kind of, you know, but that is also different for different people. Like,
right.
Some people, you know, we have psychographics, and we have player segmentation. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a lot of different ways of thinking about that, but different people like different things about Magic. Mm-hmm. Some people really like the you know, mix and match self-expression. Some people really like mm-hmm. the social element. Some people are going to be really drawn to, you know, zombies and sacrificing things, while others will be drawn towards, you know, life gain or dragons or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the, especially that kind of like early ecosystem that we've, you know, designed and created is really trying to show people that kind of like, Magic is more than just, you know, these turns within a game.
Yeah.
It is like, choose your cards, put them together, figure out what you like and do more of that. You know, upgrade and iterate based over time, kind of, you know,
yes.
find what you like about Magic and do more of that. And we're trying to not make assumptions about what people are going to like and instead kind of show them the range.
And even, for example, when I'm saying what's the next step, you're like, well, there's one of two steps. You can kind of pick the product that suits you. Mm-hmm. And there might be some people that go from beginner box and just jump into the main set because that's what they want to do. And the most is interesting, you and I have been talking about this before, before this interview. And one of the things you said to me that really stuck with me is one of the tricks of old Magic is we would teach you how to play, and then that was it. We'd like, okay, go jump in the pool. Like, we would just abandon you. And so it was kind of like, right, we had this very simple thing, and then the gap to what was normal Magic was huge. And Foundations does a really good job of saying, no, there's a whole pathway. Like, here's the very first thing you do, but here's the second, here's the third, here's the fourth. And it's kind of a playground in the sense that you can pick and choose what resources you want. We're giving you a bunch of resources. Hey, go where you're excited, and we'll try to give you the tools so that however you want to sort of get excited and learn, that's what you can do.
Yep. And one thing that I will call out, the amount of resources, just like design resources, mm-hmm. testing resources that we put behind Foundations mm-hmm. is so much larger than any previous introductory expansion we've ever made has been. Mm-hmm. Core sets tended to be on a slightly shorter timeline than the mm-hmm. expert level expansions surrounding them. This one was on a slightly compressed timeline, especially when you kind of factor mm-hmm. in that we were designing three things simultaneously and they needed to speak to each other. Mm-hmm. But the just amount of design effort, the amount of external testing that we did, like graphic design resources and analytics and data resources, like all of the things that we poured into this product, it was very much the whole company was so excited mm-hmm. about this product. Like,
yes,
there are very few things that Magic players love more than introducing someone new to the game that they can play with. And this is a company full of those.
Yes.
So like as soon as people heard this is what we're doing, like we're going all in, we're doing so much more than we've ever done before, the amount of excitement and enthusiasm around the whole studio was enormous.
Yeah, and so the reason for doing today's podcast, I know you guys like to hear behind the scenes of how things get put together, but also just to let you guys know, look, most people listening to this podcast are more franchise players. This is a really good tool. If you have somebody that you think would like the game of Magic, but you didn't quite know how to get them there, this is, like I said, a very robust suite of products to help all of you introduce people to Magic. And so if you have somebody you really like, right, the beginner box is the first place to start. And then depending on what you know of them, whether they go to the starter collection or jumpstart or just jump into the main set, those are all resources. And you can figure out with the person you're teaching, hey, what excites them? And let them go where they're excited.
Mm-hmm. To talk a little bit more just about kind of like the main set, because it kind of like zoomed all the way out. What's the grand vision and how did we get here? The main set, expands on and continues some of the themes from the beginner box, the starter collection, mm-hmm. From a like design standpoint, we really focused on just like what are the really classic timeless strategies of Magic? Like what are the things mm-hmm. that never get old, people just always love doing, identifying those, some amount of like creature type matters, mm-hmm. like we knew we had to have some amount of, just the kind of strategies that are kind of fundamentally centered around some of the core resources and game actions of Magic.
And just to point out, there's some deciduous mechanics. Like, there's some stuff we put in the set that aren't in every Magic set, but we put them in this Magic set. Do you want to walk through look like?
Absolutely.
What did we put in?
That's a really good call out, because another thing that core sets previously did is they basically only used evergreen mechanics, and they might have, like, one mechanic. And Foundations really kind of just does what it wants with that regard. The mechanics are all very... I describe them as much as like labels for strategies you should be able to see mm-hmm. as they are kind of like mechanics. Like all of the, many of the just fan favorite and mm-hmm. design favorite mechanics over time are all here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like flashback. There are some mechanics that, by kind of the nature of the mechanic, really help teach you things. Mm-hmm. Like Raid in particular.
Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful mechanic for that.
Oh, sure, sure.
it both teaches you that attacking is good, which yeah. is something that many new players kind of are paralyzed by. Like, mm-hmm. oh, what if my creature dies? And Raid's like, well, if your creature dies, you still get paid.
Yeah.
It also, in just a really like subtle and organic way, introduces the second main phase, which is something mm-hmm. that historically a lot of new players overlook and experienced players use.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes it almost makes for this sort of, we're playing slightly different games because yeah. I'm using these elements of the rule system that you don't know about.
Yeah.
And trying to kind of weave those in and get people to kind of realize them and they're like, oh, that's how that works. That's mm-hmm. cool. Is really helpful there.
Okay, what are the mechanics?
So we've got Morbid.
Okay.
Which, you know, one of the themes in the set is just sacrificing creatures mm-hmm. And things dying. Morbid is a really good, clean way to introduce that theme. And having that word that you can attach to it makes it much easier to, like, identify that this is a strategy you should pursue. And kind of, mm-hmm. then you're going to start looking for the things that may not have that word on it, but point you in that same direction.
Yeah.
Threshold is mm-hmm. in the set and is in a similar vein. Like, it just kind of points out, like, oh, the graveyard is
a resource.
A resource.
Yeah.
It's something where, like, filling your graveyard can be really powerful. It's not something that you just put cards in and never look at them again.
Yeah.
Flashback does a little bit of that, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all of the usual card types, like mm-hmm. you mentioned, planeswalkers,
yeah.
equipment, mm-hmm. all of it. We have prowess, which mm-hmm. Has kind of oscillated between
yes.
being an evergreen mechanic.
It's deciduous right now. Mechanic. It isn't quite evergreen anymore, but
yeah. But again, we wanted to make sure that there were kind of like clear and clean ways to identify, like, oh, there's a bunch of blue and red creatures that have the word prowess on them. Mm-hmm. So, like, that looks like a strategy I should pursue. And then, yeah. and then you start, you know, noticing the other cards that may not have that mechanic, but go in that theme, and mm-hmm. it'll kind of, you'll, you know, investigate that over time. One thing that was particularly troublesome, even towards the tail end of design, was whether we wanted scry, surveil, or both.
Sure.
Because surveil is a really good mechanic for incidentally filling your graveyard.
Right.
Like, again, one of the things that we focused on a lot is it's clear why you would want to do this thing.
Yeah.
And one thing that is really powerful but is often a little baffling until you understand why it's powerful mm-hmm. is self-mill. Like,
yeah.
if something says, when I enter the battlefield, mill four cards.
Right.
That's a pretty powerful ability.
Yes.
But to someone who doesn't, like, know all the context of, like, oh, you know, I have Threshold and I can
yeah.
mill a flashback card
yeah.
and I'm never going to run out of cards in my
yeah.
deck.
Yeah.
Fine. It reads like downside. Like, it
sure.
reads like something that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So having mechanics like, you know, drawing and discarding mm-hmm. or surveil is a really organic way to introduce people to that gradually, like very, very naturally.
So what was the answer of scry and surveil?
We went surveil.
We went surveil, okay.
For a good while, we did have both scry and surveil, mm-hmm. and we had many, many debates about,
yes.
is that too weird?
Yeah.
Like, these two mechanics are really similar to each other.
Yeah.
They're slightly different. One of them is more powerful, but it reads less powerful.
As a word person, it digs in me. Like, I so wish in retrospect, it's like, scry to library, scry to graveyard.
Yeah.
Something in which we could use the same terminology.
Yep.
So we have to wrap up here, but I do want to point out to all of you who we did a lot in this set to make it. There is a lot of fun. I mean, there's draft built in. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I think draft wasn't the priority versus some other goals that we talked about today. But there is a fun, robust draft environment.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Like any Magic set, like, you know, just being a really fun draft environment is kind of table stakes.
Yes.
you just kind of need to have that if you want to be a good Magic set.
Yes.
So, like, we definitely have draft. We have the draft archetypes.
Yeah.
But the, you know, we expect people will be drafting this intensively for a few months.
Yeah.
And using it as an entry point to Magic and collecting and expanding what they have for many years.
Yeah, and you said made a good point is that part of making a good entry-level product is making sure the people teaching it are having as much fun as the people learning it.
Yep.
And that was, like you said, the reason that there is a little bit more complexity going on here is we wanted to show off a lot of depth of what Magic can be. We wanted to make sure it was a dynamic thing. So this is definitely, for those of you out there that are like, maybe I'm going to take a pass, I would check out the set. The set has a lot of cool things going on, and look, these are going to be a standard for 5 years, so
They're not going anywhere.
and there's definitely some cards. We're not going to get into details right here, but there's things to check out, things that really will have an impact and will mean something. So I would. This is a set you want to at least pay attention to because it is something that will influence stuff. But anyway, guys, I'm realizing we are almost out of time here. So I want to thank Brian for being with us today.
Thank you.
But the rest of you. I'm not even sure what's my out when I'm here. And when I'm at home, I'm like, I got to my desk. I got to the conference room. We all know what that means. I don't know if we know what that means. What that means is I'm done with my drive to work. So anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.